Hello and welcome back to the Visionary Rising podcast. I am really excited about today's topic because it's something that I get asked about all the time, and that is building a team as an entrepreneur. And I am really excited to discuss this with my guest today because he has created a really well-oiled machine on the back end of his business. And I just am really excited to dive into what that journey looked like and how you went about hiring, essentially who you wanted to hire for what roles, where it started, how it's different now, all of the things.
Welcome to The Visionary Rising, the podcast for freedom-seeking, heart-led creative entrepreneurs, course creators, and online business owners. I'm Jody Brown, marketing-obsessed hairstylist turned content creation agency owner and visibility mentor, and I'm here to help you build your magnetic brand, grow your audience, and become the authority in your space. You'll get the most up-to-date conversations and strategies on visibility, marketing, social media, mindset, and entrepreneurship so that you can grow your business in a way that feels as good as it looks. Here, we keep it real and go beyond the basics. I'm obsessed with helping creatives get seen and heard and paid well for their work. Beyond a podcast, this is a movement. Welcome to The Visionary Rising.
So thank you so much, my dear friend, for being here, Hunter. I'm really pumped to have this chat with you.
Yeah, dude, I'm so excited to get to chat about this. This is stuff that I don't normally get to chat about during work hours. So I'm really excited about it. And it's something I'm really proud of and something I'm continuously learning about and something I've gotten really nerdy about, especially over the past year. So I'm totally hyped to talk about it all with you today.
Yes, I love this. And it is so fun to be able to have these conversations. So Hunter and I come from the same industry. I really started out my entrepreneurial journey first as a hairstylist taking clients and then moving into education within the beauty industry. And Hunter, let's just talk a little bit for my listeners about your background, where your business that you run now, running an education and you do events, you do all of these incredible things for the beauty industry. Where did that begin?
Yeah. So started out as a hairstylist from a pretty young age. When I was 16 years old, I did vocational school in high school. I knew that cosmetology was like what I really wanted to get into. Completely changed my life in so many different ways that I won't bore everybody with. But I became super passionate about it. I ended up becoming an educator on behalf of a brand. The brand would send me out to different salons to teach color techniques. And I found that when I was teaching the color and I was teaching like the hair stuff, the conversations about the business side of things came up so often, and it was what I was really actually passionate about. And I opened up my own salon suite where it was a one-to-one private situation. I was able to really blow that baby up. I was so passionate about the business at that point that I had been reading books and really practicing those skills. And I just was able to make really cool things happen for me. And being an industry that I'm so passionate about that has granted me so much, so many gifts in my life. It feels really amazing to be able to gift others within the industry the same resources and tools and knowledge that they may need to be able to maximize the potential that they have within our industry to be able to continue on with it and make beautiful things happen themselves. I think to be able to give back in that way has been really beautiful. I ended up creating my own digital course. I thought that was the best way to relay and hand out the information that I had to share with the industry. People surprisingly bought it. And here we are like 3 years or so later, and I have a small team. It's a multi-six-figure operation, and it is a very fulfilling, beautiful business that I have going on right now. And it's only up from here. So it's been really cool.
Oh, I love that. And I think I just want to highlight, because I've talked a lot about like motivations when there's hard things in business. And I think it comes back so much to purpose, right? Like when you do have those challenges, because inevitably, like no one has like a straight shot to success. There's huge peaks along the way, but there's also a lot of valleys. So I think that the way that you describe your business and starting it from that place of wanting to give back, first of all, I see so many parallels in my own journey, which is probably why we connected so much. But also, I think it's just so important when it comes to building something, and especially with what we're going to talk about today in terms of building a team, it is a really it can be really difficult sometimes because you don't always make the right choices. And sometimes you have to make hard decisions. And sometimes there can be things that you plan for so well and they still don't work out the way that you want. So I think that having that pillar to come back to of just the purpose and wanting to give back and wanting to create something that you wish you would have had at the beginning of your career, I just really love that part of the journey.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right about, and it's really easy, particularly when you get to this point, when you're not just trying to get things off the ground, like when things are off the ground and things really do continuously stay hard in just different ways, right? It's really easy to lose sight of the why. It's really easy to feel like this is just another chore and another thing that I have to do. And this is really difficult. I should just give up. I wish I had something else. But truly being intentional about sticking to that why, being intentional about being grateful and maintaining that gratitude is so important.
Yes. And I love how you said that, like things will continue to stay hard because it's so true. And it's not that they're hard all the time, but at the beginning, you're so excited.
Yes. Right?
Like you're so excited to start this thing. You have all this passion. And so it's almost a little bit of that like rose colored glasses thing.
Yes.
And then I see a lot of times people will hit like that first roadblock, and especially with all this talk about like, quote unquote alignment, like I'm here for alignment. My business is called Align Creative. I love it. But I think that sometimes people mistake just the normal difficulties that we have in business for a lack of alignment. And that's actually something my coach had talked about a lot. And I really resonated. That's one of the reasons I hired her, because so often we have this advice of like, just do everything that feels good, but nothing will always feel good all the time. That is not happens. I love that you brought that up. Yeah, it's really important. So let's go back in time to your first hire. What was like, which role was your first hire? And also what was the thing that made you decide that that was the role that you wanted to hire for?
So before we started recording, I told you that this has been like an interesting journey and definitely a learning experience. Like I wouldn't, like just because I did it back then and I'm here now doesn't mean that I think that's like the same journey that would be right for anybody. And that goes for everything,
for sure.
Right? But actually, so even before I created my course, I hired a social media manager for my Behind the Chair business because I had scaled it so much. I had plenty of extra income and it was so successful that, and social media was something that I hated. I was like, No, I didn't hate social media. Let me rephrase that. I did not hate social media. However, I thought it was very important for me to stay consistent, and it was difficult for me to stay consistent. And there are plenty of things that I could do to grow the business in other ways and to even maximize my social media presence if the base fundamentals and consistency of my social media were offloaded and there was some sort of accountability on somebody else to take care of it. So at the time, I did it because it was just like the number one thing that I felt like I would have a little bit of difficulty being consistent in, but I found it to be important. And so social media manager was my first hire. I had scaled a lot of the business in other ways using automation and technology and just the way that I structured all of my processes. It worked out really well for me. And it was really great because she came into my digital course journey with me. So she was started out with me just for Behind the Chair stuff. And then I decided to create a digital course. And then she really helped me start to pivot my marketing and take on some of the brunt of that. She ended up helping me a little bit with like back end stuff with my webinar that I first did ever, and just a little bit of things with creating the digital course. And it was really simple. I had no idea what the hell I was doing. I was definitely getting away with murder as far as like how much she was charging me and how much she was actually giving me. It was a really cool experience, especially for the first hire situation. But I definitely didn't, neither of us, I don't think, even knew what we were doing at the time.
So I'm curious, looking back, it sounds like it was a pretty good experience. What was the, like, why do you say that you would not necessarily give this advice to another entrepreneur? Because I'm curious to get into that a bit.
Yeah, actually, so after my digital course took off, I grew really fast. I grew really fast to a point where I was like, oh shit, I need to hire. I need like people to help me. And so I ended up joining a coaching program that specifically was for people within who are in that space, who are like doing things by themselves. They're having a lot of growth coming in, but they feel like they're working their ass off 24/7 to make it happen. And it's really time to start to hire things out. And within that program, I learned so much about Number one, the value of your time, particularly when you get to that space of entrepreneurship. To be able to have time as a CEO is so wildly important, not just for your life and your work-life balance and actually reaping the benefits of what you've worked so hard for, but also to be reinvesting that time into the more important things in your business. And so if you look at, so Dan Martell talks about this in his book, Buy Back Your Time. If you look at all the different responsibilities that you have within your business, there are certain responsibilities or certain tasks or processes that have to be carried out that just maintain the business versus things that actually are growing the business and moving the needle forward. And you as the CEO, you, the majority of the time, especially if you've done the work and the education and you've empowered yourself with that education, the majority of the time, there's nobody who can grow the business bigger and faster than you can. There's nobody who can sell your product as well as you can, right? And so when you break down all the different tasks in your business, you want to be spending the majority of your time on the things that are actually growing the business and moving the needle forward. That's where your time is, it could be best utilized versus the things that just maintain it. And that could even look as simple as like your bookkeeping, your accounting, your emails, your communication, your scheduling, like very basic administrative tasks, tech setup, right? Things such as those things. Those are things that are absolutely very easy to hand off to somebody else. They're things that do not move the business forward from a surface level. And they're things that you could be spending your time doing so much bigger and better things doing. And so technically for me, because of what I had implemented in my behind the chair business, I already took a lot of that stuff off of my plate. And maybe looking back, possibly now that I'm saying all this stuff out loud, maybe that was the right move for me, because at that point I had taken so much administrative stuff off of my plate, but I definitely could have had somebody help me more with the organization of my calendar and all of the emails and at the time that I was getting, because I was like so heavy into collaboration and really doing a lot of different moves to grow my digital course business from the beginning. So looking back, though, to answer your question, I probably would have spent more money on a lot of the administrative stuff and the organization stuff and the stuff that is really just base level maintenance things. I probably would have spent money on that first.
Yeah, that's good to know. And I think that's really, that actually a VA was my first hire, taking a lot of that back end stuff off. So it definitely was helpful to allow me to have a bit more focus. The thing too that I think is really important if you're listening right now, when it comes to outsourcing something like marketing, you can do it really well and you can also do it in a way that is not beneficial and sometimes can be even harmful.
Yes.
So I think it's really important to either A, hire someone that you know you can trust that's going to help you with the strategy. Like I struggle sometimes with the term like social media manager, because typically a social media manager, their job is like the technical side, right? And I think what you're describing is almost like a hybrid between a social media manager and a content creator. And it sounds like you had a really good experience, but I think that's something that's really important. If you are planning on outsourcing something like your marketing, maybe you've already outsourced a lot of the things that Hunter just talked about. I think it's really important to A, understand it yourself or work with someone who's willing to explain it to you and have that collaborative process when it comes to your messaging, or to make sure that you really educate yourself on that part of it, because messaging your brand, like that kind of thing, is make or break. And so I don't think it's always like the best idea to outsource it just to get it off your plate if it's not something that you fully trust and will help you grow.
Yeah. And to put it in different words, like when you really understand hiring and growing your business, what you really start to understand when you actually understand leadership and hiring is there's a difference between like somebody just coming on and taking tasks off your plate versus you giving somebody ownership over a role and responsibility, right? Those are very two different things. They're approached in very two different ways. And also you as a CEO, it requires two different skill sets and also priorities as well, like you shared, right? So what I think a big thing that I learned from that experience was I was expecting, this was like something that did not go well with that, was I was very much expecting for me to not have to think too much and for her to take on the marketing that I already had and flowed and make everything in my voice and make everything good. And I would just not even have to worry about anything. But I had not done a good job at making sure that I had set her up for success with those things, communicating what that actually looks like, putting systems in place where she can look at, I don't know, have who my ideal client is or my target market is, understand their pain points and give examples of things that I like and give examples of things that I don't like. Like really set that person up for success so that way I can just fully trust them to do their thing. Then on the flip side, and this goes even a level deeper when it comes to hiring a role to fully give that person ownership. Another thing is like literally just being like, this is like the business. This is the vision of the business, particular to your department and how it relates to your department. Your job is to get me this number. Tell me the strategy. Tell me what you're going to do. And you and I can collaborate on that, right? And I can give you feedback. But at the end of the day, here is the number. Have fun. And then that way you can really measure if their performance is actually good or not. Because if you're going in and you're micromanaging everything, and if you're giving somebody this strategy and you're like handing everything to this person, right? And you're telling them every single thing to do. Yeah, sure. You may save a little bit of time, but are you really like actually scaling and stepping away from the business and taking away responsibility from yourself? And putting it onto the business instead, or that person instead. And when you hire the right person, that's the other thing, like the right person that you can really trust to be able to fully give that responsibility to, then you should allow them to bring their creativity to the table and to bring their experience to the table and to have this like brand new perspective to be able to take that number and trust them and give them a chance to be able to see. And then the numbers will speak for themselves. And if you have to re-strategize and if you have to like, I don't know, do some coaching, figure out what's going on with the systems, or if you have to choose somebody else, then that's what will actually show you that you need to choose somebody else at the end of the day.
Those are all really good points. And I think that especially where you broke down that difference between typically if you're hiring for someone to take over tasks and there's not a lot of problem solving and all that stuff, like this is also going to change the amount of investment that you're making, right? Because someone who is an expert in a specific area is obviously going to be charging a lot more, and rightly so, for their work and their expertise, right? Versus when you are hiring someone to essentially, and I don't necessarily think, like, I actually sometimes think there's a place for both of those things.
Totally.
Depending on what you're doing. I'm going to ask you about your current structure in a minute, but I do think that's a really important thing to consider, and aligning your expectations with who you're hiring and what you're hiring for. Thank you so much for shedding light on that and like your process and your thoughts on that. What does your team structure look like today and how did it get there?
Yeah. So first off, what I'll say is that it's a small team, right? And they're all really part-time roles. Everybody mostly works 60 hours a month with me. And I think that people are like, oh, like for me to have a legit business or for me to hire, then there would have to be like a full-time role. And in reality, it's actually really nice to just have part-time employees when that's all that you really need. Obviously, you can afford it. You can have different butts and different seats that can take over so many different things that they're experts in, right? That they have experience in. There's a lot of advantages to having that. So all of my team is part-time. Right now, I have an executive assistant. So she handles all of my calendar, all of my scheduling, a little bit of tech stuff on the back end. She helps me with hiring. She helps me with onboarding. She takes off the things on my plate that are just really small that I just should not even be looking at or focusing on day to day. She makes my life easier. She makes it easier for me to show up and to be able to get shit done easily. She organizes my tasks for the week. She helps me prioritize my tasks throughout the week. She helps me schedule out my entire year. She does a lot of very important things, yes, but things that can be done or helped or assisted by with somebody else that I shouldn't be focusing on, basically. Then I have an IT specialist. So she does all of the tech setup. And with our specific business models that are digital businesses, that everything is done online for the most part. Her role is very essential and gets filled up with a ton of tasks very quickly, very easily. Anytime we have any sort of new initiative, it's web pages, it's landing pages, it's opt-ins, it's automations, it's emails, it's everything. So she helps to build all of that stuff out, which is actually something that I love building out tech. So it's continuously, actually, even to this day, still difficult for me to hand that off to her. And then I have a community success manager or a customer success manager. So she, her job is customer service emails, and then also consistently taking a pulse on the community and making sure that we are implementing within our fulfillment things that we believe that the community needs and wants from us. She is responsible for retention. So retention and churn are numbers that she is wholly responsible for. It's something, this is a perfect example of a role where it's like you, it's your job to come up with the strategy for how we retain these members as much as possible. You're held accountable to this number. You can share with me what your strategy is for to make that happen. You tell me what you need to make that happen, and then we'll see what happens. And if you hit that, fantastic, let's do more. If you don't hit that, then we need to go back to the drawing board and you and I can collaboratively come up with a strategy. So that's what I have with her. Then as far as marketing goes, marketing has been a little bit of a journey for me. I've been working with you over the past like less than a year at this point, and it's been an absolutely excellent experience, particularly when working with an agency. I was very nervous to work with an agency because I had somebody who was so hands-on and like a marketing manager who was like literally in the business, an employee for a year. And I was really nervous to be outsourcing to a contractor again. And you've really showed me that there can be outsourcing to contractors that can be a very, like you said, like we want to align with the expectations from the very beginning of who you're going to be working with and what the type of working relationship is going to be with. Working with your agency was so collaborative, and I felt like you were a part of the team, although it was not the same, right? And you've done just such an insanely excellent job. I consider my accountant a part of my team very much, particularly when you get to this point where you have multiple employees, you're running like an intense payroll, things get complicated. She absolutely is a part of my team. I ask her questions all the freaking time. And then I have she does my accounting, my bookkeeping, my financial projections, which is a massive part of the decisions that I make as well, too, as far as like when launches will be, if I can afford to hire a new person. The financial projections is really important. I meet with her on a quarterly basis. Then we have a podcast editor, which I think is, to me, I would look at as some sort of like more of a task rabbity kind of situation, right? Although she is massively, even though the nature of the role is task rabbity, quote unquote, I feel like that's like not a great term to say, to describe it, but y'all know what I mean. Although the nature of the role is very straightforward, she shows up extremely collaboratively. She's very passionate about what she does, and she gives us suggestions all the time, and she listens to every single episode, and she gives us feedback. I can ask her questions about what she thinks about certain things, and that's been really helpful. But it's an example of a role where I'm not necessarily giving her ownership over anything. It's really just, these are your consistent responsibilities, and this is what you do on a constant basis, right? So yeah, that's the structure that I have right now.
I love that. And I have like a follow-up question. Thank you for outlining that. Cause I think, and I love that you gave context on each specific role too. And also I just want to actually, before I ask my next question, I want to go back to, so the tech thing, when it comes to like you liking to do it, but outsourcing it anyway, I want to dig a little deeper because I know the answer to this, but I want to just lay out the answer to this a little bit more. Mm-hmm. Why did you choose to outsource something that you like?
I love the tech, dude. Honestly, I'm going to be really real with you. I love interacting with my students so much. I love getting on sales. I love sales. I love getting on webinars and selling my shit. Like, truly, it's so much fun for me. But honestly, if I could sit on my computer and just work on automations and workflows and build tech shit out all day, oh my God, I'm obsessed with it. I love it so much. But unfortunately, I know that my time could make money, a lot of more money, if it's spent in other places. And so I have to let go of that. I have to give it to somebody else. And I show up with it. I show up within that in creative, productive ways still. So if I hear about like a new software that I think is interesting, I'll look into it myself. I get to play around with it myself if I want to. And I'm lucky that with what I do, as far as my actual job goes, I teach a lot of technology. I can look at it as productive in that way as well too. But when it comes to a lot of that tech stuff, I have to let go of it if I am going to really get the return on my investment of that employee, and if I'm going to get the return of investment on where I'm spending my time as well too.
Yeah, I was just going to add that, like, for anyone who's not familiar with your business, the cool thing is that you found a way to infuse your love of technology. And you even said in your own business, like the tech and the automations, like that was what allowed you to free up your time so that you could do something like start an online education business. And you're teaching your community how to leverage this thing that you love. And I think it's also important to point out that for visionary entrepreneurs and for when you're growing a business, when you are the visionary in your business and you are the one who is like responsible for the big ideas and moving things forward, having time to think is a valuable reason to outsource something. Like you need that time to innovate. Otherwise, that's when stagnation can happen.
It's so true. And I've actually had to do a lot of mindset work over this past year of feeling really okay with that and really being able to see the results of it. It takes a long time for you to see the tangible results of that. For me, I would feel really guilty if I would stop my crazy to-dos and I would go on a walk and listen to a book or even just go on a walk and not do anything and just be thinking, right? I'd feel really guilty about it because I felt like I wasn't doing anything productive or tangible. But the tangible things, the beautiful tangible things and the clarity that you can get from that white space is it becomes tangible and it becomes so valuable and so fucking important. And I truly believe that, especially right now, I feel really clear. I feel so clear. I feel like I know exactly what I need to do right now. I feel like I know what my next steps are. I have never felt more relaxed in my business, actually, as I do right now. Like the past, 2 months, I have been able to really just chill because I know exactly what the next step is. And if it wasn't for me creating that clarity, prioritizing my white space and like having just time to think, right, then I don't think I'd feel the same way. And I don't think I would have the same clarity moving forward. So thank you for bringing that up. I completely agree.
Yeah, that's so smart. And so because I feel like any of the times during the past 4 years that I have felt like uncertainty or having difficulty making any sort of decisions, it's always been because that to-do list creeped back up and it's like a reminder to delete, delegate, or do. So I love that. I wanted to ask you a follow-up question about your team. When you hired your team members, do you allow like fluidity in roles once you start to work with someone and understand like what they're good at, all of those things? Or do you very much like to have a strict outline of what this person will be responsible for? And then that's that. If it doesn't work out in that role, then it doesn't work out. Or do you look at these things that allow them to shift?
That's a good question. And when you ask me that, what comes up for me is I'm hiring for the experience of the person. I am hiring for what the business needs. That's another conversation that's really important. You hire for what the business needs instead of anything else. But I hire first and foremost with core values. And this is where the word alignment comes into play, right? I hire first and foremost for core values. It's very rare for you. It's very easy for you to find somebody who can fill in a role within a budget and somebody who has the experience with it, somebody who can do the damn thing and get it done. It's very rare that you can find somebody who really aligns with the core values of your business and who really feels like a good fit within the culture and even has a natural fluidity or creative passion for the role and is willing to be flexible and is on board with the mission as well too. I think that's what's made my team so amazing and successful up until this point is they are really bought into the mission and we are all very much in alignment with our core values. And at the end of the day, like if I have somebody on my team who's aligned with the core values and who I see a lot of talent in and they're really bought into the mission, if I see that they have strengths or interest in another role or another thing, or I need something to get picked up, then I absolutely will explore that. I would so much rather explore that within my own team and hand that to my own team that I already have, because that's also very productive and efficient, but also because I just think that it just makes sense. I'd rather keep it within instead of having to hire a whole new person. So I think that I try to stay fluid and I try to just do what would make the most sense in the moment. And I think that I set myself up for a lot of success by being clear with the core values and making sure that the person that I'm hiring is aligned with the culture of the business.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I love that you said that. And that's actually the reason that I wanted to have this conversation with you, Hunter, because I was lucky enough to come out to an event you were hosting last year. And it was palpable how bought in every single member of your team that I connected with is to you and your mission. And they were so lovely and kind, like even just like taking care of me as a speaker, just like it was just, they all are so caring. And even interacting with your team over the past, you know, year, it's been really beautiful to see what you have built. And I think that that is why obviously I wanted to chat with you about this, because what you have cultivated is something that a lot of people, particularly when it is part-time roles and all of these kinds of things, sometimes it's difficult to build that cohesiveness. And so I love that you mentioned that is how you hire. Could we get even more tangible with that? Maybe just like how you make sure that the people that you're hiring do align? And is there anything you do within your company culture to make sure that is maintained? I would love to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah, I just had to hold back tears. That was intense for me. I'm so grateful for them. They're amazing. Okay, tangibles. So we have it documented. Everybody knows where it is. We have it documented, our mission, our vision, our culture, and our core values, and even more than that. It is documented. It's something that everybody can see at all times. At the beginning of all of our team meetings, we will oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes we will go over our core values. Sometimes we'll do exercises with our core values. So we'll say, what's one example of how we're showing up really well with this core value? And then what's an example of how we actually could do a little bit better with this core value? I think a lot of people, when they, especially beginner entrepreneurs, like they hear about a mission or a vision or a core value or whatever it may be, and it's something that they do, but they never really actually implement within the business. And it just seems just to do or something that everybody says you should do, but you don't actually take seriously. When you start to take it seriously, it's insane what can actually happen. It truly is. And actually, what I did this past year was when we all met in person, my team all flew into Philadelphia and we were all in person, is we actually got together and we reviewed all of our core values and our mission, and we came up with it all together. It wasn't something where I just like was like, okay, this is the mission, these are the core values, get on board. They actually all had a say, and we all collaborated to make that happen together. And it was so beautiful how everybody had their own perspective and their own diverse viewpoints on all of it, which is so important. But how at the end of the day, everybody was so naturally aligned without even looking at each other's paper. I would say, what are some core values that you guys think that we have? And that we would all be silent and we'd be working for 15 minutes on paper. And then we shared them and it was like, wow, like we already are all on the same page. Like, this is crazy. And so, yeah, having your team involved in actually like creating them and actually helping you come up with that, because the whole business is, it's not just you, right? Like the business is a creation of everybody who's within it. It's a reflection on of everybody who's within it. And so everybody's voice matters. And I think us all coming together and coming up with that together was really important. Another thing that we do is we actually just went through with the process of hiring a marketing manager. And I've done this for a while now, actually. I will do like an initial interview. I'll do an initial like little interview. And it is first and foremost, it is a like core values culture check. Like I want to get the feel for the person, and it's short. It's like 15 minutes. And then I'm like, okay, cool. This person can move forward. Or I'm like, meh, this person isn't going to mesh really well. And then I have them do a test project so I can see a tangible example of their work. But then they go and they do a team interview. So they'll go talk to my team. I'm literally tell my team, I'm like, I don't care how you do it. I don't care how you run it, but I want you guys to get on a call with them. And that way my team can be a part of that decision as well. Like my team is going to be the one who has to work with them as well. And I want to make sure that they're cool with that. And they feel like they align and they mesh well, which I think does two things. I think it does a couple things. I think number one, I think it shows a lot of respect for your team. I think it makes your team really understand that, like, you want to make sure that they feel comfortable and that they like everybody that they're working with. I think that it introduces the person who you're hiring to the culture really well right off the bat. I was listening to the team interview that they had. I was listening to the recording another time. I was like sobbing the entire time because they were just like speaking so well about the business. And I could just tell that they were just like really wanting to make sure that this person like understood what our culture was and what our core values were. And then I think it also just reminds them of the core values, and it reminds the team of, okay, this is like what we accept here. This is how we show up. This is how we act here. This is the mission that we're bought into. And it just is another reinforcement of that. And that filter is the most important, most accurate filter for who the best people will be for who to work with us at the end of the day. So yeah, those are some tangible things that we do.
That is so beautiful. And I think it's Brendan Burchard that says, like, people support what they create. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so huge, because so often I think there's so many, this is a bigger conversation, but like, there's so many examples of leadership, right? Even when I think back to like certain like movies that you watch growing up, it's always like the leader is like the big bad boss. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, if you can just shift your viewpoint on leadership a little bit and hire, like you said, like from that viewpoint of like making it a great environment to work in. Yes, like productivity is important, but so are the people there. And I think that is just such an important lesson. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you want to say or really just comment on in terms of hiring leadership or building a team?
You can't expect anybody to care more about the business than you, right? You can't expect anybody to care about the business more than you. And so you can't hold anybody in the business to that same standard. However, if you are doing something, any business, right, for the most part, any business, you are making an impact in one way or another, right? You are helping somebody or something or a cause or a mission in one way or another, right? Going back to that, understanding that impact and maximizing that in the way that you speak to your team, being intentional about that in the way that you speak to your team, keeping that in mind, and in the way that you're hiring, in the way that you show up to your meetings, like understanding the impact and getting that buy-in from the team will make it so they care much more than the average folks probably would. And when you get that type of buy-in, then that's when you can really start to make really cool shit happen, because that person on the other end, that employee that you have, will want to do as amazing in their role as much as you want them to do amazing in their role. And they'll actually show up with that attitude, and you'll collaboratively come together to make really cool shit happen. So yeah, that's how I'll end it. That's what I'll say.
I love that. I actually lied. That's not my last question.
Okay.
I have one more.
Cool.
So my last question for you, is there any like really prevalent hiring mistake that you would caution, like either something you've done yourself, something you've seen like through your masterminds or whatever it is? Is there any like repeated mistake that you see people make that you would guard?
Everyone says this, and I learned it the hard way, was like hire slow, fire fast. The fire fast. I wasted a ton of money because I had a lot of empathy, and I hired somebody who seemed really amazing at first, and like the first month really dropped the ball on plenty of things. And I should have, and I like let them go for like another 2 months after that with like the explanations that they gave me and what was going on in their life and whatever it may be. And I really wish that I just let them go like really quickly. It was a really massive waste of money. Actually, that was a great example, and why I'm very big on also having my team as a part of the decisions and stuff like that. I put stress on my team because of that. They had to pick up what that person was failing on. And there's always going to be onboarding, right? There's always going to be like, okay, this person's new and figuring things out. Like we got to give them some grace, obviously. But this was a circumstance where I should have understood and read the red flags from the beginning. Should have listened to my team when they were telling me that they think this person needs to go.
Yeah.
So hire slow, really hire slow. It's so much worth, it's so worth it to like really take your time and take that decision seriously. And then let go of somebody if you really need to, if your gut's telling you to, for sure.
Yes, I would definitely second that. Thank you so much for being here, Hunter. It's so fun to have conversations that are a little bit outside of our usual.
Yes.
And yeah, I just really admire what you've built and just the way that you show up in your business for your team. So I am really excited that you were open to sharing your experience and your knowledge with my listeners today.
Yeah, so dude. Thank you so much for having me.